And now, Drew, it's your turn. Yeah. Yay. Well, it's good to do this again. We don't have the whole seminar this time.
No.
Is your microphone on there?
I don't know if it is.
I'll tell you what, let me just push the button until the light goes on. There we go.
Can we hear me? Yeah?
Now we got you.
Wow.
So we don't have the whole seminar, but Drew was passing through the area.
Yeah.
And Drew and I connect on a regular basis.
Yeah.
And
every month for about 6 years.
Is it really?
It's been.
Oh, wow.
So Pastor Joel is such a blessing and a mentor, dear friend.
Yeah.
And there's no way I could not come to Pennsylvania and see this guy here.
We're glad to have you. Lord, I pray your blessing and anointing over Drew, as it's already there. Lord, I pray that the words that come from his mouth this morning will be the words that we need to hear. Mm-hmm. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us by your Spirit to hear and apply the word that's spoken, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Joel. I'm going to grab this stool here. Man, it's such a joy and an honor to be back with y'all. I had the privilege of being here with you guys last summer and the summer before, and man, it's just, you get such a sense of the sweetness of family in this house. And as I was stirring with the Lord, a word for now, a word for y'all, I got a word. And I found it in Jesus. I found it in his life. And I found it in the gift and the call of God for each and every one in this room. It's the call we find in Jesus, the call we find in his love. But what we're going to really look at is the call to family. And so, thank you guys for just being just such good representations of his love and his family to me and my family every time we're here. Super thankful for just your consistency in Christ. It's so needed in the body of Christ today. And so we're going to dive right in here momentarily. So let's just turn our hearts to the Lord one more time. We're just going to pray. And Abba, we thank you for the great gift of Jesus. We wouldn't know you if we did not have the life of your beloved Son, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We know the Father through you. We know family through you. We know love through you. Our new man and woman is found in you. And we thank you that you redeemed, you restored, and you made anew the original call of God for humanity. It was the call to you, Jesus, the call to love and the call to family. And what a gift that everyone in this room is walking and growing and rejoicing and receiving and giving in that call of God to your family, Jesus. And so, Holy Spirit, we thank you for this day. We thank you for our lives. We thank you for this memory. It'll never be the same again. This is the day you, Lord, have made. And we're going to rejoice. And we're going to be glad in it because you're in it, your love's in it, and your family is in it. And so we give you this time and this place in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So, the title of my message, if we could pull it up today, is Jesus is for us not only the model, but he is also the life of God in us through the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the family man. See, we know Jesus the Savior. We know Jesus the Messiah. We know Jesus the suffering servant. We know Jesus the great high priest. We know Jesus the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But you know what? Jesus is the family man. And he came to restore that call for us, the very call to his family. And that is why church, that is why the home, that is why marriage, that is why your household, your oikos, is everything to God. Because it is the call of God in you from Jesus Christ who flows through you for the very purpose of bearing fruit that will last. All the fruit of God is through Jesus, it's through love, and it's for family. That is the fruit that will remain. And so perhaps one of the most powerful invitations and statements of all time that Jesus could ever give us comes in three words. Come. Follow me. Come. Follow me. See, those he wanted, he first appointed that they would be with him. And then he sent them out. Scripture tells us that it's from him, through him, back to him are all things. So if I'm reading this correctly, if Father, Spirit, Son were operating in an eternal love relationship called relationship, called family, and God said, let us make man from this image. And therefore, he raised up Adam, and he raised up Eve, that they would be fruitful and multiply and fill and subdue the earth through their offspring. We are the offspring of Jesus Christ. We are his lot and his portion forever. We are the household of God, the very temple of the Holy Spirit. And so to God, family doesn't just matter. If you remember the show Family Matters back in the 90s, it's way more than just family mattering. Family is the kingdom. Family is God. Family is everything to the movement of the Holy Spirit here on the earth today. It is the call of calls. It is the call, like Jesus, to be the servant of all for his family. And so this is what I want to look at today. If it's from him, through him, back to him are all things, then really we're talking about it's from family God created you. It's through family that God has propelled you and called you to. And it's back to family that everything we do in partnership with God and the Holy Spirit, everything is going to consummate in an eternal family, an eternal feast, in many dwelling places where we will be with God our Father and we will be the kin, the offspring of Jesus Christ. Family matters. No, I'll say it like this. Family is everything. Everything to the kingdom and the call of God. See, Jesus showed us the way back into family. It's in him. See, Jesus showed us the way to operate in family. It's through him. And Jesus showed us the way, right, to bring to him the gift that we want to give him, the gift that he so desires, his lot and his portion forever, the gift of every memory, every moment that we make with him in love. It's a love that will last forever. It's family. And so I'm banging a drum today. Hopefully you're going to get this word as the core theme of what I'm preaching today. It's family. Do you want to know the universal call of God in your life? Every single person in Jesus Christ, not all will be called as gifts for the body, as an apostle, a prophet, a pastor, a teacher, an evangelist. But no, there's a greater universal call that we find in Jesus, and it's the call to be a family man and family woman. As we'll look today, the call to be a son or daughter, the call to be a brother or sister, the call to be a friend of God in his friendship to another, the call to be wedded in Christ, wedded to him, and some have the opportunity to be wedded to his kin, to his offspring. And lastly, to be fathers and mothers, spiritually and biologically, the gift of revealing the Father from one generation to the next. And see, this all culminates in Christ, so that you and I all know that in Christ we are all leaders by definition. We have some level of impact, influence, and expression that changes the way someone knows God, knows his love, and experiences his life. At some point in time in our life, dare I say every day. So I'm looking at the leaders of God's families. The leaders that are the servants of all. Because Jesus showed us a different leadership than the one of Caesar Augustus in the great Roman Empire. No, Jesus showed us a leader that would lay down his life in love, wash the feet of his disciples to show a way of leading and serving in love for his family. The call of God on your life is to be a family man and woman in Jesus Christ the Lord. First in your own household and in the greater, larger household, the church, the family of God. Amen? You guys doing all right this morning? I'm just warming up. So let's pull up our starting verse today. Thank you, Lord. We're going to be hopping around on a bunch of different scriptures. Some will be highlighted, some will be not. Jesus in John 15, he's talking about a vine and a branch. He's talking about this lifestyle of living, staying connected to him. Living, staying connected to his word, his voice. And living, staying connected to his love. He gets to all of this and he culminates in talking about how this is his joy. This is the joy of his heart for you as the branch. And all this has been said so it can culminate in this great call and command of Jesus Christ for your life. And we find it here in John chapter 15, specifically speaking, verse 12. I'm going to read verse 11, and then we're going to pick it up here, right? He just said, you know, as the Father loves me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another, as I have loved you. Greater love has none than this, than to lay down one's life for a friend. Love one another as I have loved you. What I want us to do is take a look at the life of Jesus and how Jesus operated as a son. as a brother, as a friend, as a husband, as one who reveals to us the Father, one who showed us the way to be the servant of all, a leader for his family. And that call is very clear. As the Father sends me, so I send you. As he is in the world, so are we. If anyone desires to say they're in Christ in these things, they must walk as Jesus walked. Jesus made a way for us to walk in a redeemed calling for family. Are you excited to be a family man and woman today? Yeah? Are you taking that in? Do you see yourself today as one that's been positioned by God to serve this family here at Spring City? To serve your family when you get in your cars and you go home and you take that glorious Sunday nap? Do you see the power in it? I hope you do. Because God positioned you for that nap for your family. They need you coming back with a new spring in your step. For sure. It says it of Jesus like this. It says, "For from him all things originate." This is an amplified version. "And through him all things live and exist. And to him all things are directed. To him be the glory and the honor forever. Amen." That's Romans chapter 11. "For by Jesus all things were created that are in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, thrones and dominions, principalities and powers, all things." Everyone say, all things. See, all things were created through Jesus and for Jesus. Through family and for family. Because Jesus does not know life. He does not know call. He does not know purpose. He does not know identity apart from Father, Spirit, Son. It says it like this of you guys. This is the beautiful story that he's writing of you, the offspring of Jesus Christ. You are his family. The joy set before him on the cross was not just the pleasure of obeying and pleasing the Father. I truly believe the thought of was the redemptive family of God purposed in his heart when he said, "Let there be light," and all these things, and he created this atmosphere so that you and I could become a part of Father, Spirit, and Son for all eternity. He didn't just make you like angels who are just awesome administering servants in the kingdom of God. No, he created you from his image, his relationship, his love, his family. And so his purpose for your life is only found in those things. I'm looking at the family men and women of God. It's an honor. Do you know something? It says it like this in Psalm 139. I don't have this up on the screen, guys. "Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them even past." It says it like this. Before there was even one day recorded in your story here on earth, God saw you and he formed and fashioned you for a time and a place, for a family biologically and a family spiritually to call your own. And it was through this landing place that God desired and chose to live, move, and have his being in Christ, in you. Maybe I'll put it a different way. Let's look at the span of your life and let's look how important it is to God to invest our all, our best, our everything in family. Did you know, and I might have done this last time, We built on the concept last time I was here of the gift of eternal life, the gift of Jesus, the gift of his love, and the gift of family. Today, I want to tease out what does family actually look like as the call of God for everyone. And I did some research to find out what's the average days of life for a single person. 37 billion seconds, guys. And it's still ticking right now. Oh, man. 37 billion seconds. It's the average lifespan of someone into their 70s. If you got more seconds going beyond that, keep on rocking for Jesus, man. That is awesome. You know, and listen, but I'm on the latter half of that. I'm 39. So I haven't reached 37 billion seconds. I haven't reached 36 million minutes. I haven't reached yet 613,000 hours or 25,550 days. See, if there was a way I could say, Holy Spirit, show everyone's clock, it would pop up over your head and it would say days, minutes, seconds. And in that culmination of time is a story, his story, your story, a family story. And through that course of a lifetime, it is believed that there's 80,000 human interactions in a single lifetime. To break that down for our minds, that's about 3 to 5 people a day. So there is new people we're meeting, but this is the profound statistic that I want us to sink in. So we have all these human interactions over our lifetime. But what do you think is the bulk of our interactions with another human being? Family. Do you want to know staggeringly what is the statistic of how much more it is in your family? Through all the interactions in your lifetime, it is believed that 7 times the interaction with one stranger, you'll have 7 touch points with someone in your own family. 7 times the interactions in your life, from all your interactions in your life, 7 times of them, 70% of them, will be in the context of a relational oikos, a family, your household, your friendships, your church. I'll put it like this. The family of God was so important to the Apostle Paul that much of the New Testament scriptures is just an affirming for how we need to, how we should, and this is what it looks like to now be a new family and how to love one another. It's not even about how we should be to the world. No, it's very much, majority of the New Testament is this is how you relate to those in your family. This is how you handle these problems. This is how we should be in Christ. This should be our perspective. This is how we should see people, no longer according to the flesh, but through the Spirit of God. And so again, we come back to more than just a book. This is the living Word. It is God the Word. And when God the Word and God the Spirit meet, there's Jesus. We get to follow not just a blueprint or a good godly manual. We get to there's a life that God has given us to follow. And it's Jesus. And as he is, so are we in this world. As the Father sent Jesus, so he sent us. So if Jesus was called to family and gave everything for his family, so are we. So let's just cruise through this. First, I want to make a charge that you are called, first and foremost, to be a son and daughter of God. Bob, could you put that up for me? It says it like this in 1 John 3:1. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God. And that is what we are now. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are the sons and daughters of God. And what we will be has not yet been made fully known to us. But what we do know is that when Jesus Christ appears, we shall be like him. What a promise. When Jesus Christ appears, you shall be just like him. I think we can all resonate, you know, as people who have messed up maybe once or twice or thousands of times in our life. This completion at the end of the race sounds amazing. And yet now God is growing us up in all things in him. That's the great journey of being in Jesus. But we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And all who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. It says it here in Romans that for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. In Ephesians, it says it like this. See, for he that chose us in him before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight, in love he predestined us for the adoption of sonship through Jesus Christ. This was in accordance with his good will and pleasure, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In Jesus, we have redemption through the blood of Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins. This is in accordance with the riches of God's grace. Isn't it interesting? Every one of us biologically was born into a family. And I don't care what the way the world is twisting it to be. You were born into a family as a son, biologically, or a daughter. And when you are having born again in your spiritual birth, you are born into God's family as a son or a daughter. Everything Jesus did, everything he ever was, it lived from his identity first and foremost as the Son of God. And so therefore there is a starting place and a finishing place for us in embracing a call to sonship in the family of God. Next, we see in the life of Jesus, God actually calls us brothers, sisters. It is scandalous in some ways, but God has created this opportunity for us to not only relate to him this way, but to relate to each other this way, and this is how he's called us to be a family. So we read this in Romans chapter 8, verse 29. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of the Son, Jesus Christ, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. The whole concept that God had given me for the Jesus generation is there's not many generations. There is one generation that stands for all eternity that's been remade in the image and likeness of Jesus Christ, the offspring of God, a generation of Jesus, the Jesus generation. And so it's so important that we understand that Jesus not only walked on earth as a son for the family, he walked on earth as a brother. And therefore, you are called to brotherhood. You are called to sisterhood in this very church, right? We have biological brothers and sisters, and then we have spiritual ones. To God, both are of great importance. Because 70% of your interactions will actually operate in that sphere. And this is why I believe the Apostle Paul is telling us, you know, choose the bond of peace. Speak the truth in love, right? Prefer one another's greater than your own desires. Be imitators of Jesus Christ when relating with one another, right? Let 1 Corinthians not only have the word of love, but put the term brother in there. A brother is patient. A sister is kind. It's this beautiful replacement that God does for us because God is love and we're in his love and he's in us. So we can substitute out that word. We can even put the word family in there. Family is patient in Jesus. Family is kind. We're going to read that at the end there. But it's just a cool play on words to understand, guys, this beautiful call by the patriarchs of Christianity and the patriarch himself, Abba God. The Father, Jesus, he calls us to love one another as Jesus, our big brother, loves you. Hebrews 2:11 says it like this. So now Jesus, the one who makes holy, has the same Father. This is why Jesus is not ashamed to call you and I his brothers and sisters. Again, the charge for you as a son and a daughter and a brother and a sister is to the family of God to love one another as Christ loves you. Jesus was also the friend of God. Can we pull that up? There is a call on your life to friendship. God has made you a friend of God. And so let me ask you something. Are you enjoying your friendship? Are you enjoying your friendship with him? Man, he's a good, good father. Yeah, and he is a loyal, faithful brother. But there is no better friend on the planet for you who is with you always, never leaves you nor forsakes you, loves you through and through, and is committed to you entirely. My best friend, your best friend, our Jesus. He is the friendship of God for us, and yet he has called you to walk in friendship, not only with one another, but an invitation of friendship to a lonely world. All these things, these calls, are an invitation to reach out into a world, an orphaned planet. Those who've been cast out by family, those who do not have friends, and say, God has made a way. God wants to show you the truth, and God invites you to a life of Jesus, love, and family, where you can have friendship, not only with God, but also with his family. Jesus says it like this in John chapter 15. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. No, instead I call you friends. For everything I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. Everyone say, I am a friend of God. You are called not only to sonship, you are called not only to brotherhood, you are called to friendship with God and with one another. It's actually a 5-minute warning there, Steve. Listen, we're going to act out what friendship looks like, and Steve's going to be up here with me doing it, because I love Steve so much. I do. I've known Steve for, 10 years. 2014. Time flies. Jesus calls us to a life that he embodies. He's called us to be wedded. Can we pull that up? See, in life, the greatest callings is not just being a son. It's not just being a brother. It's not just being a friend. But God builds on this foundation in the context that we're called to family. We are called to be wedded. Some of us may even have the gift of being wedded biologically. But every one of us is wedded to Jesus Christ, the bridegroom. And there's an intimacy there for the family that we're meant to share together. It is an intimate one-on-one, but it is an intimate gathering when we are the bride of Christ and we get to behold our bridegroom. It's a different intimacy than with the Father. It's a different intimacy than we get to have with our Savior, best friend. There's an intimacy there that God wants us to share in the context of marital covenant union with Him. And so much so, He loved that idea, that expression of who He is, that He said, this is going to be the way I actually populate becoming fruitful and multiplying throughout the earth. Marriage matters. Guys, there is such a call in your life, not only to your marriage with Christ, but to your marriage here on earth if you have one. Most of those interactions, if you're married, as you know, there are going to be some fun interactions with your husband and wife, guys. It's going to be great. And I meant that like there's going to be times where it's super joyful and fun, and there's going to be times where you can just look back and laugh. I fell through a chair the other day in the backyard. Stephanie did not help me up. And for the record, it was rusted. It was one of those old rusted chairs. But Stephanie just laughed. In my heart, I had great joy for her that we had this husband and wife moment that she could actually just enjoy this man that God has given her, and she could just sit there and laugh. Because if she did that to a stranger, we would have to rebuke her, right? Guys, we'd be like, no, come on. But those are the beautiful things of being wedded in Jesus is that there's so much adventure. It never gets old. There's so much new. And there's memories being made each moment and every day. And God says, collect the good fruit memories. And let me just burn away those dead branches. Because that's what He does in our relationship with Him. As far as the east is from the west, He's removed sin from His sight. His mercy speaks louder over our lives than judgment. So there's a call in your life, guys, to love one another as Christ loves the church. Jesus also walked this earth as one who revealed the Father. Bob, can we pull that up? See, there's a call of God in your life to be fathered and to father and mother. Each and every one of you will have some level of influence, impact, and a voice, whether spoken or unspoken, in the life of someone younger than you in the next generation. Pastor Joel is a spiritual father of mine, a voice, a consistent voice in my life that I so value and appreciate, and I tell you all the time, but what has that done for my life in the way that I father my boys? How is that going to influence the way my boys father their sons, or how my boys walk in the call of God and perhaps disciple and spiritually father? See, God is about generational blessing and generational transference from one generation to the next. And guys, you're living it out. There's a call on your life to reveal the Father, to reveal His love, and to make time for the family of God to be a spiritual mom and dad. So go, fathers and mothers. It says it like this. Jesus praying in John 17. That's my 5 minutes. Oh, righteous Father, the world doesn't know you. But Jesus says, but I do. And these disciples you sent me, I've revealed them, Father, to you. Or you to them. And I will continue to do so that you, your love for me, will be in them and I will be in them. He says it like this, Paul in Corinthians, for even if you were to have 10,000 teachers to guide you in Christ, yet you would not have many fathers who led you to Christ and assumed responsibility for you. But I, Paul, became your father in Christ Jesus through the good news of salvation. Guys, it's not just the job of the pastor to spiritually father a group that's called the family of God. Each and every one of us, God is going to position people in our lives, neighbors, coworkers, family members, kin, that God is flowing. It's the Father in you loving the next generation to know him. So you are called not just only as a son and daughter, a brother and sister, a friend to be wedded, but you are called to reveal the Father to father and mother. And lastly, we see that Jesus is the servant of all to the family of God. This is the call to family, and we're going to wrap up here. John 15, 12, and 13. There's a call in your life to leadership. We are all called to follow Christ, but there is a call on your life to leadership. What does leadership look like? Is there someone in your life that God has positioned that your words, your actions, your love is impacting for better or for worse? That is leadership. And I'm going to declare for better here, y'all. You are called to embrace whatever level of leadership that is. See, in heaven, there's no hot shots, there's no lowlifes. There's sons and daughters, brothers and sisters, friends, brides, fathers and mothers, and laid down loving leaders that serve the family of God for all eternity. So let it be so on earth as it is in heaven. Amen?
Amen.
And Jesus says it like this: all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations. This is what we are called to disciple people in. Discipling in sonship. Discipling people in brotherhood. Discipling people in friendship. Discipling people in the intimacy of the bride with the bridegroom. Discipling fathers and mothers. Discipling leaders who will lay down their lives from one generation to the next. For this family of God to the next family of God. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything. Everything I've commanded you. And surely the greatest promise, one of the greatest promises in my life and yours too. Jesus says, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. In conclusion, you are the family men and women of God, positioned at this time, in this place, in Christ, to represent Jesus, to represent his love, and to represent the call of God on your life to his family. Amen? Amen. And we'll read it like this. We know this verse: love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no records of wrong, love does not delight in anything evil, it rejoices with the truth. Love always protects, love always trusts, love always hopes. Love always perseveres, and this love will never fail. So I'm going to swap out the word love, because God is love and love is God, and yet God is family. And this is the call of your life as a son, brother, friend, husband, wife, father, mother, laid down loving leader. Family is patient. In Jesus Christ, family is patient through God's love. Family is kind. Family does not envy. Family does not boast. Family is not proud. Family does not dishonor others. Family is not self-seeking. Family is not easily angered. Family keeps no records of wrong. Family does not delight in anything evil. Family rejoices with the truth. Family always protects. Family always trusts. Family always hopes. And family always perseveres. And do you want to know what stands for all eternity? A family. Family never fails. Let us pray. So, Father, I thank you that you gave us Jesus because you so loved us and desired us and called us to family. And I thank you that you provide us a new lens for love and relationship and family. It's in you, Jesus. And so we heed the call today to follow you. We embrace the joyful invitation and call to be a son and daughter, a brother and a sister, a friend of God in your friendship to the world around us, to be ones who are fathered by you and ones who reveal the Father as fathers and mothers to the next generation. We embrace the call of leadership on our lives, that you would impact and influence and empower others through the love that is exemplified through our lives as we lay it down to be the servant of all in this family. And so thank you, Jesus. We embrace the call to be family men and family women in Christ Jesus the Lord. We embrace this call each and every day as our joyful assignment in you. You're our way. You're the truth of who we are, and you're the life of God in us. And as for me and my household, as for this household here, we will serve the Lord, declaring there's only one way, there's only one truth, and there's only one life for me and my family. It's you, Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Can we give a shout to Jesus because he's worthy, y'all? Good. I love you guys. I love this family. And I'm so grateful that we get to do life together here today.
Yeah, thank you, bro.
This guy here, too.
Could we do this? Drew and Stephanie, would you guys be willing to pray for people?
Yeah.
I know, you know, as you're preaching, and especially as you were reading 1 Corinthians 13 and putting the word family in there, I mean, I know there's people sitting here today that are like, wow, wish I had a family like that. Well, you do.
You do.
You do. Yeah. And we'd love to pray for you.
Yeah.
So if you've been blessed by this message this morning and you want to come and receive prayer as Pat is leading us in this song, Drew and Stephanie will be here to pray with you.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's grace and face shines upon you. You have everything you ever need for life and godliness. You have him, and he has you. God bless you guys.